Well, this morning I want to kind of give you some introduction before we get into the message. Coincidentally, and you know I don't believe in coincidences, I heard a man talk about this very subject, a pastor on the internet, and he told the congregation, he said, this verse of scripture changed my life. And for him, he heard this verse of scripture shortly after he had been saved. And he said, this one verse literally, completely, totally changed my life. Now, folks, that ought to catch your attention. If one verse can change somebody's life, it can also change your life. So I want you to really listen today. And I know you do all the time. I can tell from the look on your faces you're really tuned in. But I want you to do more just than tune in. I want you to really think about the impact of these verses that I'm going to get to share with you this morning. And I want you to take this message and I want you to become radical in this area. Now, a lot of times we get radical and fanatical mixed up. Let me tell you the difference. Radical is somebody that does something with their whole heart, with every fiber of their being. A fanatic is those that you see do stupid stuff. You see the guys, not just the guys, but ladies also, but mainly guys, on TV at the football games that are all dressed up and have the big horns and the funny hair and all. They're fanatics. Don't be a fanatic. Be radical. In other words, take this message, and I want you to apply it with every fiber of your being, and I promise you it will change your life. This pastor I told you about, he is not the exception. He is the rule. That everybody that does what we're going to be talking about today, it will completely, totally change your life. What we're going to be talking about today is being an overcomer. Being an overcomer. Now, I don't know why it is, but a lot of Christians have this idea. And I don't know where we get this idea, but a lot of Christians get this idea that God just wants us to barely squeak through this life and just maybe slide into heaven. You don't find that in the Bible. You find boldness, and you find faith, and you find people who are radical about this Christian life because they are overcomers. And so if you have that mindset that God just wants you to barely get through this life, I'm going to prove to you here in just a moment that God wants you to be an overcomer. There's nowhere in the Bible that God ever says that he wants us to be a loser. In fact, being anything less than an overcomer is not pleasing to God, and it is not his best for you. Now, I don't know about you, but I actually like the sound of that word overcomer a whole lot better than I do the word loser. And that word loser just sounds bad, doesn't it? Fortunately, we don't have to listen to that word. We listen to the word overcomer. Now, I'm going to be giving you some keys to living a life of overcoming, and I highly recommend you take notes. I'm going to be giving you, at the very end of this message, a 7-step plan to overcome. And that's something that God personally gave me, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago for me to apply. And then this week he asked me to share it with you, so I'm going to be doing that. But we're going to be looking at the keys to living a life of overcoming. So first let me give you the proof that God wants you to overcome. I mean, before I can tell you about all that, I need you convinced that God wants you to be an overcomer. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it doesn't get any plainer than this. God said, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. It doesn't get any simpler than that. You could reword and say, every believer or everybody that is born of God, every Christian overcometh the world. And you may be saying, well, Brother Greg, why aren't all of the Christians overcoming the world? I know a lot of people that aren't winners. They seem to be losers in their life. Well, we need to finish the verse for that. And it says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we have to be believers. We have to be Christians. And then we have to have faith and apply that faith to overcome. How do you get faith? By hearing the word. I know I preached on that time after time after time after time, but folks, I'm going to give it to you today in a way that's going to be completely different than anything I've ever done before. But we, like I said, we have to be convinced that God wants us to overcome. And in fact, right there, he said, we are overcomers, and this is our victory. It's our faith. So that's the proof. Let me move on to the key. That was in 1 John chapter 5. In John chapter 15 is the key to being an overcomer. I'm going to read 4 through 7, and then I'm going to go back and read it in a different way for you. John says, abide in me. Talking about Jesus is actually speaking these words. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, we're going to be looking at that word abide today. And like I said, I'm going to go back and reread those verses here in just a moment. But sometimes we read the Bible so casually that we really don't get the meaning of words. That word abide means constantly remain. Constantly remain. If you tell your kids, go to your room until I come get you, how long do you expect them to be there? You expect them to constantly remain there until you come to get them. You're telling them, go abide in your room. Now, we don't use the word abide much anymore, but that's what it means. It means to constantly remain. So let's reread those scriptures with that understanding. And again, remember, this is Jesus speaking. Constantly remain in me, and I will constantly remain in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it constantly remain in the vine, no more can you except you constantly remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that constantly remaineth in me, and I constantly remain in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And in other words, if you are not constantly remaining in me, you can do nothing. If a man constantly remaineth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you constantly remain in me, and my words constantly remain in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Somebody should be shouting right there. Folks, that is the key to victorious living. Constantly remaining in the Word. You won't get that done just on Sunday morning. You will never have the victorious life that Jesus is talking about here just on Sunday. He talked about the vine and the branches. If the branches cling to the vine for 3 hours a week, how healthy are those branches going to be? Well, they're going to be withered up and dead in a week, aren't they? If we only cling to God 3 hours a week, how healthy do you think you're going to be spiritually? You're withered and you're dying and you don't even realize it. We need to constantly remain in the Word. If you notice, Jesus starts that off. He says, if you will constantly remain in me. Jesus and the Word are synonymous. They are one and the same. So when you're in the Word, you're fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. And the benefits are astounding. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's a promise. That is a promise. If you are constantly abiding in the Word, and I hear people say, well, God's not going to give me just whatever I want. I promise you, if you're constantly in the Word, and the Word is constantly in you, you're not going to be asking for something frivolous. So yes, He will give you what you want, because your heart is going to be His heart. Your will and your desire is going to be His desire. But we have to constantly remain in Him. We could take that a little bit deeper and say that you have to diligently, constantly seek the Lord. Remember He says over in Hebrews, those that diligently seek me, I will reward. That is constantly remaining. And doesn't He also say to seek Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength? That is constantly remaining in Him. 100%. Folks, if God is not first and foremost in your life, you are not constantly remaining in Him. You can go to church Sunday morning. You can go to church Sunday night. You can go to church Wednesday night. You can even be a teacher or a deacon. You can even be the pastor of the church. And if that's all you're doing, you are not constantly remaining in Him and in His Word. But the Bible makes it very clear that when we are constantly abiding in Him and remaining in Him, that is when the victory comes every single time. If you want to know how to live a victorious life, get in the Word. Constantly remain in the Word. And you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Let me give you another important verse that goes right along with this. And again, this is verses that I've used before, but never in the way that God has revealed it to me this week. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let me stop right there. When you present something, you're giving it 100%. I don't think Tammy will mind me saying she just had a birthday since I called her up here last Sunday. Tammy, when somebody presented you those presents, did they say, now Tammy, I'm giving you this, but I want part of it back? No. When you present something, you give it 100%, don't you? So we are to present our bodies. We are to present ourselves 100% to God. If you have any part of your life that you have not presented to God, you have not done what this verse is saying to do. And it goes on and says to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. In other words, give Him something pure. Give Him something holy. And the Bible tells us to be holy, and God expects us to be holy. And then we go to verse 2, and it says, and be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't fashion yourself to fit into the world's mold. I want to stop right here for just a second, because I see this all the time. And yes, I've been there too. And I can tell you, it's one of the most miserable places in the world to be. On Sunday, you're a very good Christian. You even get to church on time. You even sing the songs. You even do all the things you're supposed to do. But on Monday, you can't be told any different from the world. Monday through Saturday, you are conforming to the world. Folks, when we go into the workplace, when we go into school, when we go even out into the public, they need to see a difference in us. We need to be not conformed to the world's mode. We need to be not like they are. But that very next phrase says, but be ye transformed. In other words, don't be conformed to the world and the way they do things. Be transformed. And that word means to be completely changed into the likeness of Christ. Amen. Completely changed. And yes, I understand. At work, they are going to say mean things about you. They are going to call you names. They are going to make fun of you. Well, guess what? You won't die. You won't die. When I finally made the decision to quit conforming to the world and start living for God, fortunately, I was up in my late teens, so God kind of got a hold of me early. And yes, I had people make all kinds of fun of me. But folks, I had a lot of them come back to me later and say, you know, I really respect you for taking a stand. Now, they didn't say that when everybody else was sitting there making fun of me, but privately they would come to me. And I really don't care what they think anymore. I want to please God. And again, let me say it here. We need to be radical, not fanatical. You know, those people standing on the corner with their signs, I don't want to try to condemn them, but folks, they're driving people away from the Lord instead of pulling them to Him. So we've got to make sure we're radical, and we're doing it with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, but not fanatical. So we need to be changed completely into the likeness of Christ, and we do that through the renewing of our mind. And guess how you renew your mind? By constantly remaining in the Word. You was wondering where I was going with that, weren't you? It all comes right back to the same thing. Constantly remaining in the Word. And Paul even goes on to say that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. I want to be in the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So again, you have the key. It is constantly remaining in the Word so that we might become more like Christ. Every single day, you need to read the Bible. And you don't need to just casually read it. You need to read it. You need to sit down and you need to focus on what you're reading. I don't really care how much you read, but you need to read it. And you need to go a step further than that. You need to study the Bible. You've got 15 to 20 minutes a day you can read and study. If you tell me you don't, I'll come to your house and I'll prove that to you that you do. You watch TV, you could turn off. You do other things you could not do. If God is first and foremost, you can read and you can study. And even beyond that, to me, this third step is the one that really is important. You need to learn to meditate upon the Word. I've had a lot of people tell me, well, I've tried that meditating, but I just can't keep it on my mind. I said, well, why is it when you worry about something, it's always on your mind? So you've proven to me that you can keep things on your mind. You just haven't put the Word into a priority that you have put the worries. And I can promise you this, the Word will take care of the worries. If you constantly remain in the Word, you need to be saturated with the Word. And just like yesterday, I had the most glorious day yesterday. I went for a motorcycle ride, and I had some business to take care of, so Diana didn't go with me. And after I took care of the business, I took off, and it was just me and God for 5 hours. I was talking to him, he's talking to me, I was meditating upon the Word. I went through this message. Oh, I preached this message probably 5 or 6 times to myself yesterday. That's why I'm so excited and so happy today. I got it. But the reason I've got it is I've meditated upon it. So when you read something, don't just get up and run. Meditate upon it. Take it with you. When you're in your car, put in some good Christian music. Or turn on the radio to some preaching, or a cassette, or CD. You can have the Word around you all the time. And is it, that's the only thing you have to do? Well, no. God knows you have a job. God knows you have a family. But even, ladies, while you're cooking supper, you can meditate upon the Word. You can have the radio going. You can have, with good Christian preaching or music, you can have it around you all the time. You can constantly remain in the Word. If you want to change life, if you want to be an overcomer, we need to let the Word sink deep down into our heart. And folks, that doesn't happen on Sunday morning. Like I said, I'm hoping that you get something out of this message and you go home and you say, God, show me how to do what Brother Greg taught and what he preached this morning. I want to give you two more supporting scriptures, and then we're going to get to the seven-step plan. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man. And let me stop right there for a second. That word blessed means several things. One, it means happy. It also means prosperous, enabled and empowered to succeed. So we could put any of those words in there, but we'll just go with the way it's written here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. In other words, he's different than the sinners. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Did you catch that? If we meditate day and night in God's word, we will be fruitful. God will be able to use us to increase his kingdom and to see great things done. And it says that we will prosper in whatsoever we do. Because again, we're going to be right in tune with God's will for us. Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. Now listen to verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest deserve to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt be a lousy failure, and then thou shalt be a loser. Oh, that's not what that says, is it? It says, then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. In other words, you're going to be an overcomer. But again, how are you going to do it? You're going to meditate on the word day and night. You're going to constantly remain in the word. And this man I told you about at the very beginning of this message, for the first 3 months after he got this concept, and I don't know how he did this. Everybody's schedule is different. I understand that. But he said every single day for a minimum of 8 hours a day, and usually up to 12 hours a day, he was studying the Bible for 3 months. He was brand new in Christianity, but he wanted to make sure that he was rock solid in the Word of God. So he was constantly remaining in the Word for 8 to 12 hours a day. All of us, every single one of us, I said earlier we could get 15 to 20 minutes, but if we were really honest with ourselves, if we wanted to get firmly grounded in the Word, most of us could find at least 1 to 2 hours a day to really get in the Word. But it has to be a priority. And this message has to get down into our heart, or we'll never do that. Now, briefly, I'm going to give you the seven-step plan to overcoming. I have preached on all seven of these steps before. And like I said, 3 or 4 months ago, I was sitting at the house and wasn't even really thinking about this subject. It was one of those deals, God spoke to my heart and said, you better get a pen and paper handy. Here we go. And I mean, I wrote as fast as I could because he was just giving it to me. And these seven steps came out in this order. And folks, this is good. I didn't do this. God gave this to me. Step number one, seek God diligently. Diligently. Most of us don't even seek God, let alone diligently. I can give you a great definition of that word diligent. If Brother Larry and Sister Nancy came up and said, one of our kids has disappeared and we think they're out here in these woods, who would be left in this church building? Nobody. And who would come back before the child was found? Nobody. Especially the parents or the grandparents of that child. We would be out there seeking diligently. We'd be looking up in the trees. We'd be looking in the bushes. We'd be looking under anything and everything. Folks, that is the way you seek God diligently. You get in the Word, and you seek, and you seek, and you seek, and you seek, and you seek. And guess what? The Bible says if you seek, you will find. But a casual walk through the Word, oh yeah, now and then you're going to find something here and there. You're going to run into John 3:16, great verse, but most people don't go far beyond that. But we need to seek God diligently. You do that by constantly remaining in His Word. Step number two, renew your passion for the Word. Now, you may have never had a passion for the Word. If you haven't, get a passion for the Word. It's not hard to tell what people are passionate about. That's what they talk about. If we are passionate about the Word, every chance we get, we're going to be in the Word. Remember when Brother Glenn and his singing group was here last week, and I showed you Brother Jim's guitar on the backside? It's not hard to tell that he's passionate about playing, because all of the paint was gone on the backside of that guitar, wasn't it? That shows how passionate he was. Folks, your Bible is going to show how passionate you are about the Word of God. Your Bible is going to open easily. You're going to have a lot of markings in there. You're going to have some highlights. You're going to have notes written all over. It's not going to be hard to tell that you are passionate about the Word. If you get some free time, you're going to go study the Bible. You're going to go read a book that's been inspired by an author on something about the Bible. It's not hard to tell if you've got a passion, and we need to renew our passion. Number three is live a pure, holy life. If you remember, I told the story one time about some kids that wanted to go, I say kids, they teenagers, wanted to go watch a movie at the theater. And they told their dad, said, "Dad, it's got the best actors. It's got a great plot. It got a great theme. It's a really good movie. The only problem with it is it's got just a little bit of cussing in it. And you know, it's not much, but just a little." Well, actually, they wanted to go get the movie and bring it home and watch it from the video store. And their dad told them, "Okay, you go get the movie. While you're gone, I'll make you some brownies." So they went to get the movie while they were gone. He made some brownies. He got them back, and he set them down at the kitchen table. He said, "Now, I want to give you these brownies, but before you eat them, I want to tell you about them." He said, "These brownies have the very best ingredients that money can buy. I didn't spare any expense. It has the best cocoa in it, has the best nuts in it, it has the best milk in it, has the best of everything in it." And said, "Oh, by the way, it's got just a little bit of dog poop, but not much. Not much." How many of those brownies do you think they ate? They didn't eat any of them because they weren't pure or worthy. Folks, sin of any kind in our lives keeps us from being pure. Keeps us from being holy. What we watch, what we listen to, the things that we let go into our mind, we have to make sure that we keep ourselves pure before God. And guess what? Constantly remaining in the Word will do that, because over in Psalms it says, "How shall a young man cleanse his ways?" It says, "By the washing of the water of the Word." All of this goes right back to the Word, doesn't it? Step number four is pray fervently. Pray with some emotion and with some passion. A lot of times we have our little prayers, and I think they probably make God sick. And I even catch myself doing this at times. You know, we pray out of a habit, and that's not a bad thing. We need to make sure that we stay fervent, and that we stay emotional, and that we stay passionate about it, and that we seek God, and that we take on the needs of other people just like they were our own needs, and that we intercede for them, just like their problem was our problem. That's what the Bible calls bearing one another's burdens and coming before the throne with boldness. We need to pray fervently. Step number 5. And let me say this before I get to step number 5. God has given me about a 3-year series on what I'm getting ready to tell you about. I hope you stick around for the 3-year series. Well, nobody's running yet. That's probably a good sign. But we need to watch what comes out of our mouth. We need to speak only words of faith. Why would you say anything else? Why would you speak negative words against yourself? We need to speak words of faith. You never once hear Jesus speaking anything except for words of faith, and we are to imitate him. We need to watch the words that come out of our mouth. You know, I've shared with you before a little bit on this. You know, when something's going on and you say, well, I just don't know what we're going to do. Folks, that's not words of faith. That's saying the problem is much bigger than you, God. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how we're going to handle this. Words of faith is saying, God, I understand we've got a giant in front of us. I understand that this monster is big and this mountain is huge. But I'm putting my faith and my trust in you. Your word says that you will supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I believe your word. See the difference? We've got to watch what we say. Speak only words of faith. Number 6, speak boldly to our mountains. Now, I know most of us think this is a strange one. And that a lot of times when you start talking about speaking to your mountains, people start going in their minds, oh, that's what the Bible means when it says be peculiar. No, it doesn't mean that. But Jesus spoke to all sorts of things. He spoke to the fig tree. He spoke to fevers. He spoke to all sorts of things. He spoke to demons in people. Folks, he tells us. In fact, if you remember when he spoke to the fig tree, the very next day, he told the disciples that if you have faith, not only could you do this, but you could tell this tree to pick itself up and to throw it into the sea. He didn't tell them not to try this. He said, you could do it if you have the faith to do it. So we need to start speaking boldly to our mountains. And that's one you need to probably study on and get the word deep down in you, constantly remaining to the word, until you really understand how to do that. But we need to do that. And step number 7 is offer plenty of passionate praise. God inhabits the praise of his people. And that isn't just when the praise team lines up here in the front. Folks, that's the least amount of praise that I do during the week. I get up, and one of the very first things I do in the morning is I spend time praising my Heavenly Father. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. I'm going to give God the praise that he is worthy of and that is due unto him and that my heart is crying out to give him. There's power in praise. If you don't think so, go read the story of Jehoshaphat. Instead of putting the military out front, he put the praise singers out front. And they won. Big time. Took them 3 days to haul the spoil. There's power in praise. So we need to give God plenty of passionate praise. It boils down to this. If you will constantly remain in the Word, and if you will let the Word constantly remain in you, then you will be an overcomer, because God promises that you will be an overcomer. Are you going to have challenges in life? Yes, you're going to have challenges in life. Are things going to come up against you that look big and overwhelming? Yes. Yes. But nothing is going to be as big as God. And we need to constantly remain in him and let him constantly remain in us so that we will be strong, not in ourselves, but in the power of His might. See, this isn't about us. When we face a challenge, we think it's about us. It's not. It's about letting God work through us so that we can be overcomers to His glory and to His honor, and so that people can see that there is a difference in us and the world. So if you don't take anything else from this message today, I hope you take the fact that you need to constantly remain in the Word, and that you make a commitment to that, and that you commit to being radical about that. Even if you have to get up an hour early, it's worth getting up an hour early to spend time with your Heavenly Father. And I hope the Holy Spirit ministers to you in that way. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before You, and I thank You first and foremost for Your Word. You tell us that Your Word is spirit, and that Your Word is life, and that if we will constantly remain in Your Word, that we can overcome and that we can have faith, and faith gives us the victory. And Father, this morning I ask that You would just help those here today that are not committed to You, and that they're not radical about Your Word and about serving You, that they would make a commitment to You that would be astounding, that even their family could see a major difference, and that they could see that they are committed to serving You and that they're putting You first. And Father, Your Word tells us that if we'll seek You and Your kingdom and Your righteousness first, then all these other things will be added unto us. And I thank You for that. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.